I love that. The Old Testament is all about the finished work. It just if you have a legalistic mindset, you won't be able to hear it. You won't be able to see it, because it's essentially the law is a veil over the eyes of people. It blinds people. This is why the Pharisees could not recognize the very one who they claim to serve, because the law is a veil over their eyes. What Moses did, he did by the Spirit of God. What Abraham did, he did by the Spirit of God. What Joshua did, all of these people, they did it by the Spirit of God. Even the reluctant ones did it by the Spirit of God. Balak and Balaam, right? Those two. I mean, the one was an ungodly ruler. The other one was an ungodly prophet. But they could still not overcome the Spirit of God. They were reluctant and they were unreluctant servants. Jonah, very legalistic prophet, loved God, loved the law, the letter, didn't love God's heart, didn't love God's nature. This is why he was running, right? He didn't want to preach to Nineveh, because he thought in Nineveh if he preached to them they would get saved, and he didn't want it. He didn't want them to get saved because they were vile in their sins, and he didn't want them to get saved. God had other plans. God had other plans. There is an order, right? There is an order. For example, I don't send an alcoholic to go minister to alcoholics, right? Somebody who has that weakness, somebody who has that history, you would not say, or somebody who has a weakness for sensual lust, you don't go have them minister on the block in Baltimore, right? That would not be wisdom. So there is an order. But there is also willingness, and there is the Spirit of God, and it is the Spirit of God that makes the man of God willing. I cannot work up my own willingness. God has to make me willing. It is up to God, and God alone can make me willing. I may have a desire, but the desire is different than a willingness. A desire is that out of my personality. A willingness is that from the Holy Spirit speaking to the human spirit, transforming the human heart. The Old Testament is a beautiful picture of the finished work. Everything about the Old Testament, the sacrifices were a beautiful picture of the finished work. The law was not a picture of the finished work. The law was a picture of man's need for the finished work. This was what told us of our condition apart from God. It told us about the holiness of God. It didn't tell us about ourselves. People wanted the law because they wanted something to preserve in their flesh. Without the law, there was nothing to preserve in the old sin nature. The old sin nature wants to be preserved. The old sin nature will fight very hard. It will do anything it has to survive. It'll get religious if it needs to. It'll get miserable if it needs to. It'll get emotional if it needs to. It'll do absolutely anything that it needs to in order not to have to face the cross. There is no room for self on the cross. Now let me correct that. There is no room for self through the cross. On the cross, there's plenty of room for self. Through the cross, not 1 ounce of room for self. If I want the life of God, I cannot have the life of self. Plain and simple. And that seems very hard to the flesh, and indeed to the flesh it is very hard, because the flesh has no place with God. The cross is my liberation, because the flesh is that which puts me in bondage. It puts me in bondage to lust patterns. It puts me in bondage to a sin nature. Other types of things other than just pure lust patterns, other things of the sin nature. Emotional reactions are very common. Everybody goes there. Anger, another big common one. You want to deal with anger? Go to the cross. Anger is an attempt to preserve self. That's all it is. Self doesn't get its way in some aspect, some way, and therefore there is anger. Anger is a bondage. Anger is not a good thing. It is a bondage. And I don't mean it's not a good thing towards other people per se. Certainly it isn't. But it's not a good thing to the person who possesses it. It's destructive to their own soul. The cross is our liberation. The cross is that which makes the yoke easy and the burden light. Self is a corpse because we have been crucified. Right, so it's the cross that brings us our liberation. And I don't mean Christ's cross 2,000 years ago. I mean the cross in my life. Not an ascetic self-denial system, but a believing what the Word of God says. Not indulging, but fellowshipping. Right? I need the cross. I need the cross. Without the cross, I have nothing. I may think I have everything, and the world may reward me for it, but in truth, I have nothing. After all, what have you gained if you have gained the whole world, but lost your soul? You have gained nothing. And even if your soul is saved, even if you are a born-again believer, going to heaven, washed in the blood, even under those circumstances, I can still lose my soul. Not to hell, but to the world, and I can lose it to self. I can lose my rewards. And I may be saved, but as by fire. It is my choice, really. Matthew 16. If you could turn there, just in the way of an introduction. And starting in verse 13. And Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," Elias was Elijah, "and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who do men say that I am? It is entirely possible for me to base my belief system and base what faith I have on who men say that he is. But if I do this, I will enter into a program of religion without ever knowing the Savior. You see, he wanted to know two things. Who do they say that I am? And who do you say that I am? You will hear it from other people first, perhaps, but ultimately you have to learn who God is for yourself. You see, to have that experience of eternal life on a day-by-day basis where God's life is in a man overflowing, I need to know Him. And if I don't know Him, then I cannot have that experience of eternal life on a day-to-day basis. I may be born again, but only in my position. It is one thing to be born again in your position, it's another thing to be born again in your experience. A lot of Christians are not Christians. A lot of believers live in unbelief. A lot of those who are born again are not born anew because they don't know Him. They know who men say that He is. He is a prophet. I will believe you. I will believe you that He is a prophet. And I may even ask Him to save me on the basis of what you said. But I will only believe you. It is entirely possible for me to base my entire faith on another person. But Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" What He didn't say is, "Who am I?" He said, "Who do you say that I am?" He did not base His identity in the words of other people, in the thoughts and evaluations of humans. He knew what is in the heart of a man. He knew who He was. But He wanted to know, who do you say? Do you in fact know Me? is what he was asking them. Do you know me? Because if you know me, then you can have that experience of eternal life here on earth. If you do not know me, then perhaps you have heard I am the Savior. Perhaps you have heard I preach the Word of God. Perhaps you have heard, like many did, that I heal the sick. But do you know me? So who do you say that I am? I cannot know God. I cannot base my faith on my friends. I cannot base my faith on my pastor. I cannot base my faith on my spouse or my siblings or my family. I have to know Him. I cannot go by what they say, although they may teach me. They may bring me to the water, but I do the drinking. He can meet me at the well, but I have to drink. Like, who do they say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Perhaps they are the same, perhaps they are different. But I have to know Him. And apart from knowing Him, I will not have eternal life on earth. Perhaps to be in my position before Him, but the transformation of my heart, where I have the richness of a moment-by-moment fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the richness of God's life imparted to me, the richness of purity and truth, where I don't have to work it up, I'm transformed, and God works it in me. Unless I know Him, I cannot have those things. But at the same time, He did ask them, who do they say that I am? He did not ignore the need of that part of my relationship to God. He did not ignore the fact that I cannot be a Lone Ranger believer. He did not ignore the fact that I need a pastor. He did not ignore the fact that I need the body of Christ. That I need proper fellowship with Spirit-filled believers. But that proper fellowship with Spirit-filled believers has to go to the place where I get to know Him in my life. And apart from that, then that fellowship has served no good. See, a lot of believers will get together and they actually reinforce their old sin nature. They'll gossip. They'll get negative. They'll talk about things they ought not to talk about. I say, let's delve into the past and like discuss. And this is why my psyche is this way. What about you? Oh, you've got the same problem. Isn't that special? Well, yeah, it's special. You know why? Because you have two people who don't know how to think, that demons made sure they came together to reinforce their old sin nature. So that becomes their identity. I need to know who God is, because apart from knowing who God is, I will not have the right identity before Him. It is not a possibility. If I don't know Him, I don't know me. Because I am in Him. As a believer, that is the only place that I can be found. I am in Him. And if you really want to know me, then you need to get to know Him. Why? Because He is in me. And I am in Him. So apart from getting to know Him, we can't actually get to know each other. Why? Because to get to each other, we must go through Him, whether we like it or not. And if we choose not to go through Him, we will never know who we are to each other. Not a possibility. Who I am is who God says I am. Who does God say that I am? Number one, if I am a born-again believer, I am accepted in the Beloved. You may feel like you are a wicked, evil sinner. You may feel like you're a demon in disguise. You may feel so bad, you think to yourself, oh my God, I know I'm from hell. I know I'm not a Christian. I know I'm not saved. I've got news for you. Welcome to humanity. Perhaps you sinned, but that's not who you are. You see, who you are is who is going to fellowship with God for all of eternity. Reality is only reality if it is eternal. Otherwise, it is created. It's not entirely real. My flesh will die with my body. In Corinthians chapter 7, the flesh is a part, the physical part, the sin nature is a physical part of my members, of my body. It will die when my body dies. And if the rapture comes first, then it will die at the point where I receive my glorified body. My glorified body will have no sin nature. This is who I am. I am the beloved of God. Oh, you don't understand how bad I just screwed it up. God says, I don't really care how bad you just screwed it up. My blood has taken care of it. Well, you know, I'm a vile sinner. I can't come to you. Excuse me. Your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how big those sins are? Not bigger than the east from the west, I will guarantee you. The east is farther than the west, than the great, farther from the west than the greatest of my sins is great. Excuse me, do you know what I used to do? No, actually I don't. I have forgotten and I know everything. What are you talking about? Are you talking about a make-believe that you call your past when I give you a new past? You do realize it is a make-believe. You do realize it is a lie. You do realize when you discuss those things you are walking in a lie. Oh, by the way, Satan is the father of all lies. Who are you? You won't know unless you know who he is. Who are you? You're the beloved of God, his precious child, loved by him. You are your father's child. Who is your father? Your father is the king. Oh, and by the way, there is not one thing that can happen that he does not permit. If it happened, he allowed it. If it was not to happen, he would not have allowed it. Oh, it may have been his permissive will, but it's still a part of his perfect plan. Oh, it may not be good in and of itself, but it will work together with all the not so good in and of themselves things to come out to being good. You see, who is he? He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who are you? You are his brethren. You are his brothers and his sisters. You are his comforter as much as he is yours. What do you mean by that? How can that be? Didn't he stand in front of Jerusalem and weep because they rejected him? You did not reject him. Divine reciprocity. He comforts you, you comfort him. He loves you, you love him. He gives to you, you return to him. What do you return to him? What he has given to you. He gives you purity, you return purity to him. He gives you hope, your hope is in him. He gives you a family, you give your family to him. You see, this is that divine reciprocity. This is a walk with God. Do you want this? You need to know who he is, or you cannot have it. Ah, but it is given freely to anyone who chooses to know who he is. You may have salvation, but do you actually know him? You may have a love for God in a religious sort of a way where you love the idea, but do you draw near? Is he ever, like, what do you think when you think? Do you think with his thoughts or do you think with your own? I got news for you. You have no thoughts of your own. You are made of dust. You are not capable of your own thoughts. You may think you are. You may think you are, but you are not. Where do your thoughts come from then? They either come from God or they come from the enemy. Oh, I don't know. I'm not no occult type. You don't have to be. Do you love the world? Satan is the god of it. What are your thoughts like? How many would like to have their thoughts put out on a billboard? How many would be kind of embarrassed? God knows what they are already. And you know what? Doesn't surprise him. He knows we are but dust. He knows we have a sick head and a faint heart. How do I know he knows this? Because he's the one that said you have a sick head and a faint heart. Don't worry about whether you are perfect before God, because I will promise you, you are not. And either am I. So don't worry if you are not perfect before God. God is perfect before Himself. And you are in Him. What does God see when He sees the believer? Sees His blood. Sees His Son. Doesn't see me. What do I mean by that? He doesn't see my old sin nature. He sees only what He has accomplished. He sees only the finished work. Who do men say that I am? They can lead you to me, but then you must be able to answer for yourself. Who do you say that I am? Because otherwise, your faith is no faith at all. You know, God sees, right? God sees, and God hears. Inside my mind, God sees and God hears. And it doesn't surprise him what he finds. This is why he died. So often I fail and I feel like I have to withdraw because I am ashamed of my failure. And God says, no, when you fail, you need to draw near even more to keep you out of your failure. So that you have equipment to deal with your failure. So you can be forgiven of your failure in an experience. Apart from this, I cannot know Him. I cannot have His life. And by the way, I am intended to have His life. Not my own. His life. Why? Because His life is eternal. His life is not corrupt. His life is life. My life is death. Right? I mean, what will happen if I keep my life? Someday, I will die. What will happen if I want His life? I die to myself, and I have eternal life, and it is appointed to a man only once to die. So if I have already died to myself, in a manner of speaking, I can't die again. Now I just have eternal life. If I refuse to die to myself, then my end will end with death. And by the way, although my soul may be saved, but if it is not, then that is an eternal death in which I am still alive. And I cannot die. You can blow your brains out, but you cannot die. If you are saved, you will go to heaven. There is no such thing as death, per se. Only in the body. If we lost a loved one, we will see them again. we will see them again. They have not died. We will see them again. Their body may have, but they have not. You know what it is like? It is like someone burns down your house. It is not a good thing, but you are okay. If you are a born-again believer, you are okay. God will give you a new house. The ultimate insurance plan. Anyway, that's just a thought.